This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As a writer, I spend a lot of time at my computer thinking of careers I should have chosen instead. And high on my list is being the conductor of an orchestra. You know, there are some jobs and endeavors that look impossibly hard, like computer programming or landmine removal or swing dancing. But conducting, I just thought, how hard really can it be? So I think I've got what it takes. I know how to clap on time. I know the difference between loud and soft. And I have free time. Miraculously, the Orchestra of St. Luke's, a very prestigious orchestra, gave me 36 musicians to play with. That's three dozen. And they let me conduct the Haydn Symphony No. 45, which they were rehearsing that day because they were going to play it at Carnegie Hall.
Hi, Patty.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Likewise. Great.
I was introduced to the real conductor, Bernard Labadie, from Montreal, and he is a specialist in classical and Baroque music. So we're looking at this score.
Yep.
There are many pages.
Yeah, and that's a small score because there are not so many instruments. If we'd be doing Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, you would be facing a huge wall of notes and lines. But in the Haydn Symphony, it's something much lighter.
And there's a line for each instrument, correct?
Exactly, and it's clearly written. So,
so
you see that the top
one,
line is
oboe two.
Fagotto is bassoon.
A bassoon. Corno one in A la must be a horn.
It's a horn, definitely.
Okay.
The second
violino must be.
Well, so there are two horns.
There are
it's
two
important
horns.
You know, and that's an important
two
part of
oboes.
Your, yeah.
One
bassoon.
Bassoon.
Two horns, but it's important.
Why
you
do
have,
they call it fagotto instead
fagotto
of a bassoon?
Fagotto is the it's the Italian word for bassoon.
Okay.
Fagotto
they
in
make
German.
Everything sound like pasta. So are your gestures? You prepare so much. Are your gestures planned, or do you feel it in the moment?
Well, and when you learn how to conduct, you have to learn the gestures. Uh-huh. And you have to learn the impact of gestures on musicians.
Uh-huh.
And also, you learn to adapt them to the different musicians you're working with.
So it's not specifically choreographed?
No, I mean, it's part, how could I say that? It's not choreographed, meaning that
it's like you're dancing with the orchestra.
To some extent, but I'm maybe it would be more precise to say that I'm dancing ahead of the orchestra because my job is to convey through my gestures how I want the music to sound like. We are usually one beat ahead.
How can I tell, as an audience member, how can I separate a good from a great conductor?
The truth is in the music that you hear. What I mean is you cannot really trust what you see. Because sometimes some conductors have a very, you know, weird conducting technique and it seems offensive or anything, but the results are fabulous.
I thought what Bernard said was very reassuring. If I interpreted this right, he said it really doesn't matter what you do as long as you do it extremely, even if it's offensive. So I brought my own baton, which I had gotten for $8 on Amazon. I could have splurged for more, but I thought, how good does a baton have to be? Though I also thought, why don't they give me two? I don't know why. I guess I was thinking of chopsticks or something.
You don't need to use a baton to conduct. It's not an absolute necessity. It can help. And I would say it helps, especially if you have a very large orchestra. If you're in the pit and people have a harder time seeing you, what it does is that it focuses the message.
Right.
It concentrates the message of the hand into one point, which is easier to read. But it's a matter of choice, I would say.
Well, I like toys, so I'm going to use it.
It's a big toy, yeah.
Fencing without a sword or being a jockey without a whip.
Yeah, but be careful. It can be dangerous. I'm well known in Quebec City for having stuck one of these up my nose in rehearsal and then ending up in emergency room at the hospital.
So I walk up to the podium, and not only am I holding a deadly weapon, but I look out at the orchestra and I think, shit, I can't do this. It's terrifying. Maybe sticking the baton up my nose isn't such a bad idea, because surely that would be an easier route to go than trying to conduct 36 musicians. But there was kind of no turning back.
So the tricky thing, of course, is to make you start together.
Here goes. What? What's wrong? What did I do?
So one beat of preparation, one, two.
Bernard is sort of telling me to do things that I don't understand with the beat, and that I didn't even know it was possible to hold a baton the wrong way, but I was. I thought it would be like tennis, you know, shake hands with the racket, but it's not that. So I proceeded to raise my arm up and down and occasionally outward and hope for the best. Clearly, these guys are really good because they're not getting any help from me.
You actually, at some point, started beating suddenly much quicker.
That's good, right?
Not necessarily. I think it's supposed to be in the same tempo.
Okay.
And that's because you
started
slowing down.
I wanted to personalize it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so we'll do it. Well, let's do it really fast and with regret.
May I suggest something? Let's do it with only one hand. You don't need the two.
That's right.
You can do
I want it to be a megalomaniac, though.
That will come in due time, trust me.
Okay.
So I suggest that let's try to consciously shift the tempo.
Okay.
If you start beating a little quicker, they will follow you. If you start beating a little slower, but like trying to get quicker, accelerate, and then decelerate, just to see how they react to it.
So I decide to take some amphetamines here. And here I took an Ambien. And now it's worn off. So obviously, I've mastered the craft of conducting. I sound pretty good. The orchestra sounds good. I know what I'm doing. But maybe it's a little cookie cutter. Maybe it's like every other conductor on the block. I decided I wanted to stand out. I want now to create a visual repertoire. I want to put my personality into my technique, add to the language maybe. I want to be one of the greats. So here I am pointing at people in the orchestra. I'm leaping and I'm glissading. I'm swatting flies. I'm trying to hitchhike. I I'm playing with my hair. Here, I started doing a little yoga. Could we call this sublime?
I have to say, this is easier to work than my TV.
I want to be careful because I do want to come across as humble. But, dare I say, I've impressed myself. If there's another baton accident, call me.
Patty Marks. She's been contributing to The New Yorker since 1989.
Will you talk to us for... Would you want to talk?
We're both named Melanie, by the way.
Oh, Melanie's. Will you talk to us?
Okay.
And which instrument? I think I know, but which... You were...
Oboe.
Double bass.
Double bass. How'd they do?
You did okay. there were moments that you did really well, and then there were moments that you had too much fun.
So if this were a report card, you'd say shows improvement.
No, I'm not kidding.
Keep your day job.
That's the Orchestra of St. Luke's with Bernard Labadie conducting.
Piano, piano.
No musicians were harmed in the making of our story. Not permanently, anyway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.